The Voice of the Bombers, one-on-one with Mike O'Shea, the Bombers Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
And we knew that you were going to be playing a semifinal game, Mike O'Shea. We weren't sure where it would be or who it would be against. We do know now it's against Calgary this Sunday in Calgary. As you watched, and I know you watched because you're a CFL fan, the last two games of the regular season on Saturday night. Actually, the last game and the third last game. Edmonton, Saskatchewan, and then BC, Calgary. What kind of emotions were you wrestling with, or were you wrestling with any?
Well, you like to see good football. I mean, that's first and foremost. I don't really cheer for anybody. You know, we had the season we had, and there's a few games that we'd like to have back, actually probably a couple quarters or a couple drives we'd like to have back that possibly could have changed where we're playing. But that's so far in the past. We're going on the road for three. I mean, that's the bottom line. So at that point, I'm watching for certain things, noticing things that maybe we've noticed before in games, but, you know, we're gonna get that film. It's really hard on the TV copy. You can't study it like you study the film that you get via the CFL Dropbox or whatever. The end zone copy and the sideline copy looks so different than the TV game, and it's so hard to follow.
Doug Brown calls it
the tight line, yeah, end zone copy.
Yeah.
So you're really looking for that the next day. But I watched, and you know, I thought you like to see good football, and you like to see a clean game, and everybody sort of ramping up for the playoffs. And I mean, it was interesting.
But, would you sit there and watch Edmonton, and they take Logan Kilgore out of the game and put their number three quarterback in when the game is still up for grabs, and say, "What are you doing, Jason Moss?" Would you do that?
Jason Moss is getting ready for his playoff game in Montreal, and he wants to see what some of his players can do, and what happens if they have to go to plan B and plan C. So I think, you know, those are valuable snaps for guys. So, I don't run the Edmonton Eskimos, and I'll let Jason do that. And he does a good job of that.
So none of your business who he plays, right?
Doesn't matter. I know what we're doing, right? You know, now we're at that point, we didn't, but now we're on the road for three. Let's go.
I guarantee you Bomber fans were asking that question. And then the last game was where Calgary had to win a BC or they'd be playing here on Sunday. And the Lions gave them a pretty good run, didn't they?
Yeah, I thought they would. I thought they would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't believe in the idea, and it's often used that, you know, they have nothing to play for. That is, you don't play a violent contact sport and go out there thinking you have nothing to play for. You're putting on the line all the time. And if you don't, you're not safe. So I figured they'd get a good effort.
Yeah. Well, in the second half, I think when BC kind of had the notion that they had a chance to win the game too, they probably got a little bit inspired at that point.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not on their sideline. I'm not in their dressing room, but I thought it was good effort. There wasn't anything wrong with that. That's for sure.
So you will play the Calgary Stampeders in the West semifinal Sunday in Calgary. It'll be the third game in a row that you have played against the same team. In your many years in the Canadian Football League, can you ever remember being with a team that was in that situation, playing the same team three games in a row?
I don't recall that, no.
That's really unusual.
Yeah.
I bring it up. I don't know that it's significant of anything, but it's just kind of...
Yeah, I don't recall that happening. It may have in the past. I think the league tried to do... tried to schedule more meaningful games in the back half of the season against divisional opponents. And so it's ended up like this. We'll see if they repeat that type of schedule for next year, seeing how it's turned out. You know, I think they can't predict how it's going to turn out, but
no.
We'll see what the schedulers do to see whether the CFL liked it or not.
Yeah. Is it good or bad that you're playing the same team three games in a row, or is it insignificant?
There's some very valid good points to it, and I'm sure somebody would say, offer points that are probably valid about why it's not good. But I think planning-wise, for us, you know, we had some time in between. So you can really dig deeper into the teams you're going to be playing.
So you're coming off a bye week, but I'm assuming you've been doing some preparation and been on the field doing some things. Can you tell us what's been going on?
The coaches have been in basically nonstop, getting prepared. And I think, but one of the benefits will be feeling ahead of the game and being more rested as coaches. I think that's valuable stuff for play callers, decision makers. It's certainly nice to have a bit of downtime in that regard, and to have more time to look at yourself too, to see what we've been doing. And, you know, normally some of those introspections are saved for the end of the season, but you get a chance now to look at some stats and see, delve down into them and see what's behind them, that of yourself, but of your opponent also. The players were in for, they had some time off, and then they were in for a little bit, making sure that they're staying fit today. They went to yoga, and you know, there's been some meetings and some walkthroughs. So
they went to yoga.
Yeah, today. Yeah,
mandatory yoga.
Well, pretty close. I mean, I don't want to see some of the old linemen stretch a lot, that's for sure. But
nobody wants to see that.
No. So, but
is that something new? You guys doing yoga as a team?
It's just a way on a day, almost a day off, for them to, you know, stretch and get loose and get ready and recover. You know, they've, you know, our bye weeks are spaced such that, you know, this is a good time for them to recover before a good playoff push.
Physically, you'd have to feel really good that your team's going to be as prepared as a team could be in early November.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. Absolutely.
How about Chris Streveler?
How about him? He's good.
How's his health?
I like him.
How's his health?
Oh, Bob, we'll see. You know, he's Al Couture and his staff are taking good care of him, and I know that Chris will put in a ton of time to try and give us everything he can when he can.
Is it questionable that he will be able to play on Sunday?
We'll see. Every day there's something positive that comes out of it, so we'll see.
Yeah, you didn't quite answer the question there.
I'm not going to.
Okay. Your center, Michael Couture.
That was very observant of you.
Yeah, I'm getting used to it. Let me ask you this. You'd love to have him, though, to sort of give you that, you know, that 1-2 punch that you had with him and Nichols, wouldn't you?
Well, you'd love to have everybody healthy, you know. That's this time of year, it's not always possible. So that's why you have depth, and that's why you bring guys in, and that's why you forge ahead.
Michael Couture, your center, was hurt in the last game. What's his status?
Once again, we'll see, but come game time, you know.
We'll take a break after this question, the first text question of the night from Ken. Hey, Coach, I know there's a rule about having two quarterbacks on the field at once. You can't have. That's the rule. But if Streveler is not listed as a quarterback, could he play another position? How does that work?
That came up last week, too. There is some writing. I'd have to go back and check it. But there's some wording that talks about a quarterback and or a player, how they were listed at the beginning of the season or how they played the majority of their college years or whatever. So I don't know that you can and I'll have to check on this, but I don't know that you can switch a guy from quarterback to running back or quarterback to fullback or quarterback to receiver or quarterback to defensive end, say, you know, from one game to the next.
Okay, before we break, seeing as there seems to be some question about Chris Streveler's status, could you categorically state that Zach Kolaris will start at quarterback on Sunday?
I'm not going to state anything.
The Bombers Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
All right, let's start off with a text question for Mike O'Shea. Coach, in the 2018 West semifinal, that would be the game in Regina, the Bombers put together a good game plan and we're clear winners in Regina. How difficult will it be to do the same against the Stamps in Calgary when we will play them for the fourth time this season in a winner-takes-all game.
Well, I don't think it's difficult to put together a good game plan. I think both teams know each other very well and both well coached, you know, offensively and defensively, special teams, both, you know, both teams have good coaches. And I think it'll be another tight game that comes down to execution and penalties and mistakes and those types of things. That's what these games come down to. And so it's not hard to put a good game plan together. You got to make sure it's digestible enough for the guys to execute it at a high level and you know, do it without thinking so they can play fast and physical. But it should be exciting. But, you know, I think I love our staff. They're, you know, highly intelligent, lots of energy. You know, they're motivated to always win games and put the players in the best position possible. So, I mean, it's an exciting time.
Do you have any advantage because you've had more time to prepare, or is that washed away by the fact you're playing the same team three times in a row and you know each other inside out, basically?
Yeah, I think you know each other very well. You know, the interesting thing about coaching is you can just watch more film and more film and more film and more film and
your eyes glaze over.
Well, you end up with, you know, a play call sheet that's bigger than your playbook, you know, bigger than your training camp installs. So it's about now probably making sure you got the ones that you really want and like, and that the players, once again, the players can go out and execute at a high level.
Are you saying you can overthink it? Is that what you're saying? Why don't we do this? Maybe we should do that. How about we run this?
Well, I think it's our job to do that. It's to put a lot of thought in and come up with as many ideas as possible and use your full staff to weed out some of the ideas that, you know, might not work as well and come up with the best plan. So some people would call it overthinking. Other people would just say it's very detailed.
Yeah, I'm not saying you are overthinking, but I'm asking you if you can. Can you overthink it?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if you go in with too much, you know, if hindsight is 20/20 and you come back after and you say, boy, we went in with too much and we didn't execute as well as we should have, then, yeah, maybe that's the case. But in terms of planning, you try and get as many ideas on paper as possible, and then you check them for validity, you know, based on what your film study says.
Yeah. Go to the phones. Kelly, you're on with Mike O'Shea. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hi. Coach, first things first, I think it's going to be a close game. I expect it to come down to a field goal. What I was going to ask you is, do the players have only one set of shoes that they wear in case, you know, the weather turns bad?
No, they would come with a pile of different shoes. Brad Foddy and his staff, they always have a tickle trunk of choices for the guys to wear. What's interesting is sometimes it takes a little more prodding to get the guys to wear some shoes that they may feel are ugly. But historically, we know they work. I don't think any of our players listen to this show, but I've given them the details of if this is the weather, if these are the types of weather conditions we're in, these are the shoes you will be wearing. I don't care what they look like on you. So our Brad Foddy and his staff do a great job. They've got a lot of options for the guys.
All right. Thanks a lot, Coach.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, Kelly, thank you for the call. Hi, Mike. Just want to wish you a safe week of practice. And I think the way – oh, here's some advice, coaching advice, Mike O'Shea from David. I think the way you beat Bo Levi is you rush four, do everything you can to cover Rodgers and Begelton, and force Calgary to run the ball. And please press the receivers. He's talking about press coverage. No zone coverage. Good luck Sunday. What do you think of those pointers?
Well, it's, you know, it's this is awesome technology. Usually I get handed these napkins at restaurants with these suggestions on them. So I'll keep this one too.
So the weather forecast for Calgary on Sunday, it seems we're talking about footwear, -5. They're not talking about any snow. There shouldn't be any snow. And the wind will be very light. -5, that's 23 Fahrenheit for those who still don't know about Celsius. How do those conditions strike you?
Sound perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
minus five won't hamper any throwing, catching, all that stuff, huh? I mean, minus 15 might, but minus five shouldn't.
No, I don't think so. Not these guys. They're ready to go. I think somebody said that a few years ago. Not cold enough.
You?
No, no.
No?
Not me.
Okay. Who was it?
I don't know.
All right. You don't even want to say. Coach, talk about your general philosophy when getting the team ready for a playoff game. Do you prepare as you would for any game and not deviate too much from usual priorities and routines? Or, given the high stakes, is it important for the team's prep to go above and beyond what you do for a regular game?
So the prep week immediately prior to the game, the 4 days prior, will be pretty well exactly the same as we would always follow. I think the consistency of it helps with consistent play. The guys like that. They know what they're getting into every single day. They know what, from one period to the next, what we're doing. That's important. Now, a bye week, the last week of the season, is a little different, obviously, than a bye week mid-season. The bye week right in the middle, I gave the players the maximum amount of time off. They needed the rest. They needed the mental rest also. This one, because it comes right before the playoffs, I gave them some rest, but not like a bye week in the middle of the season. And but they certainly did get a bunch of physical rest. But I required them to be around a little more and doing the mental prep too.
780-6868. Back to take more of your calls and texts. The Coach's Show with Mike O'Shea. It's brought to you by Bear Crop Science. Science for a better life on 680 CJOB.
The Bombers Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
A text. Hi, Mike. Big surprise today with Rick Campbell stepping down as coach of Ottawa. Your thoughts on what he accomplished in Ottawa and the way ahead for the franchise?
Oh, I think he's been fantastic there. You know, they've been to three Grey Cups. They took their first year was a little tough, but it's an expansion team, and their transition from their first year to their second year was phenomenal. And they, you know, he's won a Grey Cup there, which is obviously something we're chasing here. He's been very successful. It was tough to hear that. I think he's obviously a highly intelligent guy. We sat on the rules committee together. He's very even keeled, really intelligent, loves the CFL, has become a Canadian citizen. And he won't be able to work long, I'm sure.
Coached here for a year in 2009. Reuven says, good luck, coach, in Calgary. Should be a classic Western semifinal. And for what it's worth, my sources in Regina tell me that most of Ryderville is actually rooting for the Stamps, as there is some trepidation surrounding the prospect of facing a former quarterback in Zach Collaros, who has resurrected his career and would obviously relish the opportunity to avenge his unceremonious release from the Riders. I'm reading this, folks. I'm sure you, as a former player who played on two teams, can appreciate that burning desire to seek vindication, for lack of a more colorful term, at the expense of your former team.
Well, well written.
Yeah, was it ever?
Yeah. Am I supposed to comment on that?
Well, yeah, I think he's looking for a comment.
I think this time of year, you don't like anybody. So whoever we get to play, it's fine. I don't know who they're going to be cheering for, but I know that we're not picky on who we face, and we don't like any of them. So here we go.
Okay, this is from Holly. Will both Streveler and Collaros be involved in the game Sunday?
We'll see. Sunday.
I keep trying, Mike. Yeah. So Bo Levi Mitchell said today that his team is going to go out, I think he used the terms, have fun and play loose. Is there a fine line in a playoff game between doing that and yet being, you know, intense and focused? How do you balance that? Because I know you believe in the players having fun. That's why they play this game to begin with.
Well, a lot of that fun comes from success. So the work you put in prior to the game allows you to be successful. The more film you watch, the more prepared you are, the more conversations you have with teammates about plays, the focus level you have in practice allows you to be prepared, and then have success, translate that to success on the game field, which then means, you know, you're going to have fun. When you're making plays, that's what these players want to do. When they make plays, they're having fun. So we got enough guys that understand that, that'll make sure we're in the right frame of mind come game time.
A couple of texts along the lines of how you're going to deal with Bo Levi Mitchell. One of them says, BC rattled Mitchell with their blitzes. Your thoughts on that? It seems if he has time, he picks defenses apart.
I think that's true for most quarterbacks. You'd always like pressure. Whether you can get it with three or four or five or six or however many you got to bring, you got to, at some point, pressure plays a role in any game plan. And any quarterback, I think, with a lot of time will find an open receiver at some point.
So fair to say it's mandatory that you have some success with pressure on Sunday.
I think it's whatever that, however that game plan unfolds, I think it's important that we execute what we're asking the players to do.
And you'll be asking them occasionally to get pressure.
We'll be asking them to do a lot of things.
Here's another one. I noticed we often only, we meaning the Bombers, only rushed three against Bo, and they kept their back in for six blockers, giving Bo all day to find his receivers. And then he says, why? I guess he's asking why you only rushed three when they kept in six.
Well, then you have a lot of numbers in terms of coverage, right? So, you know, there's been various defenses throughout the course of time that have relied on a three-man rush and done quite well. I was on one of them where we rushed three a lot, and we end up winning a Grey Cup. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the three you're rushing with.
Yeah, I guess. Greg Peterson, who does the color on the Calgary radio broadcast, said on our pregame show 2 weeks ago that if he was running a defense against Bo, he'd rush three and drop nine all the time. Now, he's, I think he's speaking in general terms.
Yeah, I just don't know that you can do something all the time against...
Most often. Then.
Yeah, but even that, I think, you know, when you're talking about Dave Dickinson and his staff and Bo Levi Mitchell, I mean, I don't know that you can really do something over and over and over again and expect to keep on having success, you know. But you know, having more guys in coverage against their talented receivers is something that a lot of teams have done. And sometimes, you know, obviously pressure is interesting also, because I don't know that you really sneak up on Bo Levi and Dave Dickinson. I think they know exactly what's going on, you know, before the ball's even snapped.
Yeah. So whatever you do, however you design your defense and scheme it, you have to play it as well as you can play it.
Yeah. Listen, they're a good football team. They've been a good football team for a number of years for a reason. They're going to make some plays. You know, there's one thing for certain in football is somebody's going to make a play against you. You know, there's going to be some adversity at some point. And, you know, if you can limit those, you've got a much better chance of winning. And if how you deal with the ones that they get on you, because they're going to get something on you, they're going to, you know, you'd like to say they're not going to score a point. But over the course of my time coaching, Calgary has scored points.
They're against everybody.
Yeah, so you just have to limit them and score points and, you know, keep our offense on the field, keep their offense off.
And get great play from your special teams.
That's every game. You need that. And we've been good all year on special teams, that's for sure.
The Bombers Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
All right, welcome back. Let's go to the phone lines. Ty, you're on the Coaches Show with Mike O'Shea. Go ahead, Ty.
Hey, thanks for all, guys. I heard what you said about that three-man rush that you had winning a Grey Cup, O'Shea. Love it. Love the job you've done. You've given more excitement to the city than everything. But I got a question for you. Just when you mentioned the three-man rush, obviously, when you're backing nine off and you're playing, it's hard to play man, so you're obviously in a zone. But doesn't that combat when you got Dickinson and Mitchell back there, giving them time to pick apart a zone? Aren't you stabbing yourself and opening yourself up for a big play How do you combat that? Do we have the talent to combat it? Do we have to do some man? Do we have to do some blitzing? Like, how do you think? I know you don't want to give too much away, but just me thinking outside the box, doesn't that give them too much time to pick apart a defense?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to fool them at all. You know, I don't think you're going to confuse them. It's whether or not, you know, you can be on their first read. You can play zone against them and you can rush three guys. I don't know that you can give a full steady diet of that. But with a zone like that, a drop nine, I mean, Chris Jones, that was his big thing. You know, everybody talked about him being pressure guy all the time. He was a drop nine type of guy. So you shouldn't really get beat deep. There shouldn't be the big ones there, but they can pick you apart underneath for sure. And, you know, once again, I think you just have to be comfortable doing some different things, you know, moving things around and being different. I don't think you can rely on a steady diet of any one thing against Calgary.
No, that's a fair answer. So we're going to put Jefferson at safety? No, just kidding.
You know, he could. Willie Jefferson could play safety. He is so athletic, and he would love any opportunity that is presented where he gets to do something new and different and fun. So,
no, he's a freak out there. Love watching him play. Actually, I love watching your whole defense play. Actually, your whole team. They just, you know what? Unlike previous years, I got to commend you. These guys look like they're having fun out there. They look like a family. And you know what? I know it might be a cliche and everything, but those are the type that when they go through, they're going to look like they're going to go through a brick wall for their teammates and stuff like that. And that wins Grey Cups. And correct me if I'm wrong, you've probably been on a team like this. And again, it's hard to see as a fan, and you know how it's like in the locker room, but I'm sure these guys are willing to lay it all on the line come Sunday.
Yeah, we got a bunch of those guys in the locker room, and I think it is key. I think by this time of year, they need to know each other, care about each other, and want to do anything they possibly can for each other. So, I believe that's what we got.
All right, Ty.
Thanks, Ty.
Thanks, guys. I wish you all the best on Sunday. Win or lose, just lay it on the line, and I'm behind you all the way.
All right, Ty. Appreciate the call. Okay, I got two or three, maybe four texts here in a row or scattered about that address your situation, Mike O'Shea, in terms of your contract. I'll read one to you, and you can... this will kind of wrap them all up. Coach, can you please address your contract situation? There are reports you have declined multiple extension offers from the Bombers. Speculation is you'll be coaching out east next year.
Yeah, there's no truth to that. I've not declined multiple contract offers, so I'm under contract for the team. I want to stay, and, you know, like in any contract situation, the contracts are up at some point, so you have to renegotiate another one. And now's not the time to be renegotiating a contract. Now's the time to be focused on the playoffs. So I'm good with that. But certainly there's no truth that I've been declining multiple offers. That's not the truth at all.
And you said you want to stay.
Absolutely.
Willie Jefferson, is he going to push, is he going to pass rush more? Or will he do his fake rush and try to pick off a pass? And Willie sometimes drops into coverage. So can you, I guess you're not going to tell us how often you're going to run those stunts.
Game plan stuff? No. Willie's a terrific athlete that we can use in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. I want to ask you about your outstanding player nominees that came out last week. We haven't had a chance to discuss these. Willie Jefferson. And the controversy is around Andrew Harris not getting a nomination as either the outstanding player or the outstanding Canadian. You and I and three members of the media, Jeff Hamilton, Ted Wyman, Darren Bauming, were the voters. Just your thoughts on, I mean, I have said publicly three or four times that I voted for Harrison, both outstanding player and Canadian. I think he deserves it. I think he paid for his crime earlier. That's my position on it. What's yours?
Well, it's terribly disappointing that he didn't received some votes for something or didn't win one of the nominations. He's an unbelievable player, a talent that you just don't see come around very often. Obviously, he has set all the records for Canadian tailback, and not just the Canadian. He's a damn good tailback in this league. Historically, great numbers. No matter what your nationality is, he's unbelievable. And I know what he's meant to our team, and I know the type of leader he is, and You know, I just don't think it's right to try and change policy that can be changed in the offseason, during the season, through a vote. That's not, you don't protest like that. You take it to the commissioner and you figure out a new system if you want to change it, but not in the current season. You do it at the end of the season when you're supposed to. You know, he's, Andrew Harris is very, very deserving of the accolades he should be getting.
Stanley Bryant is your most outstanding offensive lineman, third year in a row. Oh, he's won the Canadian.
He's won the
national 2 years in a row now.
Yep.
He's got a probably good shot at a third.
He's really good.
He's not getting older. Is he getting better?
Oh, yeah. Stan's great.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Mike Miller, outstanding special teams player and your top Canadian, but the special teams player award, boy, that's a real tip of the hat to a guy who's been the best there is for, 8 years in this league?
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, a few games away next year of becoming the all-time leading tackler, special teams tackler in CFL history. You know, he'll be a guy who, when he finishes his career, will have well over 200 special teams tackles. I don't even know when that'll be, but it'll be a long time from now. But to you know, you talk about a team with Justin Medlock and Janarian Grant. There's a lot of good special teamers on our team. And Mike is, he embodies what you want for sure. He is tough as nails. He plays the game the right way. I can't say enough about him. I love the guy.
On a sort of a different topic here, I wanted to get your opinion on this before we wrap things up, and I'll get a couple more comments from you on the semifinal game. But 25 players were drafted, I think it was this week, to play in Mexico's premier professional football league in 2020, the Liga de Football Americano Professional, it's called. And among those 25 were Ben Cazuara, who was
an offensive lineman with
offensive
us.
Yep, Ian Maroof,
Guelph,
a D-lineman with you guys, and Brendan Thera-Plamondon, a receiver.
Yep.
So these guys are drafted by these teams in Mexico, and now they can go there, I guess. Well, you tell me what you see this can lead to, or what's positive about this new sort of approach.
Oh, I think it's...
And Dylan Schrott from
Dylan
U of M
Schrott,
was
yep.
picked too.
Yeah, tough kid, good player. I just like the idea, the global initiative that Randy Ambrosi has embarked upon and taken the CFL through to hopefully new heights. I think it's a fantastic opportunity, not only for the players that are coming to the CFL, but for Canadian players that maybe get opportunities somewhere else to continue playing football. You know, just bring their love and excitement and knowledge of the game to another country. You know, the leagues that they run in Europe and in Mexico, football's been around in Mexico for a long time, you know, so and they are passionate about it, and it's well-run, well-organized. You know, the university system there is fantastic. So anytime you can partner with these leagues and exchange not just information but players and build a stronger relationship, I think it's pretty neat. Anytime as a player that you can continue to play. I mean, players from the CIS, from U Sports, have been going over to Europe and playing for a long time now. There was a bunch of guys that I played with at University of Guelph that went to play in Europe and had a great time, developed some relationships, kept up playing football, and maybe got to experience obviously different culture and experience football from a different angle too, because they got to play different positions and maybe help even coach. But I think in these professional leagues, they won't be required to coach at all. They're well run.
So if Dylan Schrott isn't good enough at this point to make a CFL roster playing in Mexico, you think he can improve his skills playing in Mexico?
Well, a lot of it's just game experience.
Just a chance to play.
You know, I look at some kickers. It takes a long time for kickers to break into the league, and sometimes it's just a matter of game experience, being put under pressure and making kicks and honing their craft and being focused solely on it. So, you know, when you become a professional and you are afforded more time, or you're going to take more time to do this, to practice your craft, you know, you focus all your energies into it, you're going to get better.
Sum it up for me then. What's it going to take to beat Calgary in the West semifinal Sunday at McMahon Stadium?
The same things we talk about every week, Bob. We're going to have to be physical, which I think being well-rested will help with that. We're going to have to execute a game plan you know, in a clean manner. We're going to have to take care of the football. Don't take a lot of penalties and execute what we're asked to do.
The game kicks off at 3:30 our time Sunday. We'll be on the air at 1 with our pregame show, and we'll be back next Tuesday, next Monday's Remembrance Day. We'll be back Tuesday with another edition of The Coach's Show with Mike O'Shea, brought to you by Bayer Crop Science, science for a better life on 680 CJOB.